am I going to go to God if I can't even go to my wife and say, yo, you ticked me off today? What am I going to do with God? I might not even know how to talk to God if I just can't talk to myself and talk to my family and talk to people. We got to face the discomfort of talking, of communicating. And it's not just about talking, but it's about listening. My wife would tell you I'm a terrible listener. She comes to me with her day, and it's this, and it's that. You know what? I got a bunch of solutions. Honey, if you did this, 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 and this, you'd be fine. And that's where I fall short, because she just wanted to tell me it was crappy. She had a rough day, and I'm trying to fix it. All I had to do was listen. It's about listening, too. And not just listening to people, but listening to God. Some of the most powerful moments in my life have been when God has led me to just listen. It's 10 o'clock, I want to go to bed, I'm exhausted, and Holy Spirit's tickling my side, and he's like, hey, just come talk with me for a sec. I'm like, come on, man. I just got in bed. You know, I'm in my underpants, like it's cold in my house. I don't want to leave my bed. But I'm obedient, I get out of my bed, I go pray, I go sit on the stairs, I go kneel at the other bed. And sometimes I just listen. Sometimes I'm in a desperate place and I'm just listening. I need something and nothing comes. And then I'll do it again and again and again. But then God will meet me in that place when I just learn how to listen, to get still before God, to throw out all the other crap that's coming from the day, because you know it's all there. Every single day there's a new thing to be worried about. There's a new thing to be upset about. But we got to get quiet with God. We got to learn this thing called communication, even though it's uncomfortable. Let's change gears a bit. Let's talk about comfort. We talk enough about discomfort. Let's talk about comfort. Don't you like being comfortable? We just bought a new bed, and I love it. It is a comfortable bed. Thank you, Jesus. I have this cool thing called a phone. Man, it brings me all sorts of comfort. If I'm bored, I can flip it open and watch reels and waste my life. Woo, woo, woo. You know? And it's got a calculator on it. If I have to figure out some numbers, I'm a guy, I love numbers. So I'll put numbers into the calculator and I'll figure out the world out in my calculator. And it's all on my phone. It's super comfortable. Because comfort is convenience. I like to cook on a stove, not a fire. I like to sleep on a bed, not the floor. I like a pillow, not a rock. Life is built on comfort, and comfort is good. It's great, but comfort is dangerous at the same time. There's another fellow in the Bible named King David. Cool guy, great guy. Probably the most highly praised king in the Bible. Wrote all sorts of psalms. Had a real relationship with God before that was a thing. He really communed with God. But David wasn't without his failures and faults. In fact, probably in the height of his kingdom's security and his comfort, he made one of the most devastating mistakes, maybe the worst mistake of his life. Let's look at 2 Samuel 11, 1-5. In the spring of the year, when the kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. I think that's how you pronounce it. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, King David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, isn't that nice? A midday rest. Just think about that for a second. Just had your midday rest. He was comfy, man. He was comfy cozy. He can have a midday rest. God have mercy. After his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. He looked out over the city and he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And then David sent messengers to get her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, I'm pregnant. I've got that message a lot of times. And I was on good standards, and it changed my life. And you know, I wish that it ended there for David. But man, that guy just dug the sword in deeper and twisted. He He caught Uriah back from the battle. This is Bathsheba's husband. And he tried to convince him to go home to be with his wife and sleep with your wife for a couple nights and then go back to battle to cover up his deed. But Uriah had something called honor. And his men were fighting in fields, and he wasn't about to go home and just get comfy with his wife. No, he wasn't going to do that. His men were sleeping in a field, and that's what he was going to do. And David tried everything. He got him drunk, but he wouldn't go. And so David sent him back to the battle with his own death warrant to be abandoned in the battle so that he might die. And that's what happened. And it's honestly a terrible, terrible story. And I pray to God nobody's that sinister here. I don't think we are. I think we're pretty good. But let's really dumb this down to our moments of comfort. I think that when we walk in the door and we kick our boots off after a long day, those moments are bigger than we think. What do you allow into a guards down mind? Think about that for a second. What goes into a guards down mind? The day's over, the kids are asleep, and I get to relax. What show do you flick on? Oh, let's not go there. Ooh, Jesus have mercy. Do you watch Netflix? Do you watch YouTube? What book do you read? That's healthy. It's reading, right? Let's be honest. If you're watching something explicit and reading something explicit, it's just as bad. What's going into a guards down mind? Do you know something? The devil, he'll find his way through a crack. And when our guard is down, we're opening ourselves up to what's in front of us. That's why it's called being entertained. I'm letting it flow on through because I'm being entertained. I'm relaxing. My guard's down. That's what we do when we watch a movie, when we go to a production. Hopefully you're doing it now. What's going into that guards down mind? I love this story. My mom and dad were watching a show when we were kids, and they just put us all to sleep. They were watching some ghost hunters show, and they're hunting ghosts. And this one lady was giving her testimony about how she talks to the spirits, and they come to her in these white orbs. And so my parents are just licking this up. This is their chill time. Their guards down. Until my little sister comes screaming down the stairs, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, there's white dots all over my ceiling." Needless to say, that TV show went off real quick. My mom got the olive oil out and started, you know, "Praise you, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, get out of here, devil," you know, just wiping it on everybody and everything. But it's real, y'all. What you're allowing into your mind, into your guards down mind, it's going deeper than just your head. It's sticking. That's like when people say, "Oh, I listen to worldly music, but I don't listen to the words, just the music." Oh, come on. That is BS. Bad story. That's a bad story. Because it's going in, and it's getting into your heart. What you allow into a guards down mind is going to get into your heart, and it's going to affect you, and it's going to affect everybody around you. And so our moments have to be disciplined. We have to think, we have to surrender ourselves to God in our moments, even in our moments of comfort. God, is it okay that I watch this show? God, is it okay that I watch this book? I mean, how many of us even think to ask God before I pick up a book? Is this okay, Jesus? And you know what, God, you don't have to pray about everything. You know, is it okay that I drink this water, Jesus, or should I drink the Dasani water? You know, we can get overkill. But are we surrendered in our moments of comfort? Are you willing to give it up? Amen. I know you love Little House on the Prairie, but what if Jesus says no more? I know you love Days of Our Lives, but what if Jesus says no more? I know you love picking up that book with all the shades of gray. What if Jesus says, put that book down in Jesus' name? Are you surrendered? Are you willing to be disciplined in your moments? Let's broaden it up a little bit and look at our season. We have good seasons, we have bad seasons. Sometimes we're feasting, sometimes it's famine. Praise God. Sometimes me and the wife are talking, sometimes we're fighting. We're mostly talking. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We don't go to bed angry. We try not to. We go through seasons. And we got to be disciplined in our season. Is Jesus a part of your season? Is he a part of your routine? When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Come on. Is this what you're grabbing the first thing in the morning? Oh man, it got quiet in here. Yeah, sometimes we get that thing and it sucks the life right out of us. The first thing we wake up, we check our news feed, we check our Facebook. Oh my gosh, they're doing this. Oh, let's watch 15 reels. Oh my gosh, I gotta go to work. Is Jesus a part of your routine? I'm not saying you can't pick up your phone and watch a reel or check your news feed, but maybe if we're living a disciplined life and we're putting Christ at the forefront, one of the first thing I do when I wake up is going to be, thank you, Lord, for this day. I got 2 minutes, God. I'm just going to pray while I'm laying in my bed, because if I get up, 15 people are going to wake up with me. That's okay. That's my season. If you tiptoe around the house, you got 15 people looking for breakfast. But maybe you're a little freer than I am right now. Maybe you can get up and you can make your coffee. And instead of flicking on the news, maybe you're going to flip open that Bible. And you know, that just sounds simple, right? It's like, if you want to live, you need to sleep, be active, eat, and that's it. But there's obviously a lot more that we do in those three categories that makes us alive. We have relationships, we have hobbies, we have friends, right? And you know, being a Christian, the three things that always come to my mind, you got to pray, you got to read your Bible, you got to go to church. Bam, you're a Christian, right? And it's a lot deeper than that, obviously. I mean, those are three things that we think that we can do. I can pray to God, I can read His Word, and I can go to church. But what does that mean? Prayer. Does I have to get down on my knees, say five Hail Marys, and, you know, read it from the book and memorize the thing? You know, the Bible says to pray always. So when you wake up in the morning and you see the sun, say a prayer. Hey, God, thanks for the sun. That's sweet. Thank you, Jesus. I've been looking for that sun. You just prayed. When you walk down the stairs and you notice that your husband filled the milk jar, we get contraband milk, by the way. We get the raw stuff, so you got to fill up the jar. You know, don't tell the government. But you know, and you see that, you can say, oh, I got a great husband. Then you can say, thank you, Jesus. I don't got to fill the jar. Man, when we incorporate God in our routine, life starts changing. The Lord taught me from a young age, worship me and you will be joyful. Worship me and you will have happiness. Fine, God, I'll do it. Phew, stub my toe. Oh, and you know what wants to come out? All the profanities. In the name of this and that and this. Blah, 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 blah. But instead you stub your toe and you say, oh my God, have mercy, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I still got it. Still got it. You shake it off. And you find a reason to praise God for that stubbed toe. You know you're alive now. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't break the toe. And if you break it, you didn't break your foot. Thank you, God. If you break your foot, you didn't break your leg. Thank you, God, I didn't break my leg. You can always find a reason to give God praise. If the garden's dying, you can try again next year. Thank you, Jesus. You got to find a reason to praise all the time. Let it be part of your routine. Let it be part of your fabric. Some of us wake up and we make our coffee. And that's routine. I mean, if you woke up in a coma, you would get up and make a coffee. Because you just, that's what you do, man. And praise ought to be part of our routine.